Well, it's always a pleasure to be able to be up here with my brother. It's kind of hard to catch him, but he always seems to be there when you really need him. So I trust my brother has been given some direction from the Lord that he'll present those things that he has given him. I know he was the one that chose this second song, so I know he's come prepared. So would you please give your hearts and mind to our brother Andrew Brown?
Thank you, Gordon. I have a lot of thoughts, as I usually do when I come to this place in my life where I stand on this side of the pulpit. I did want to say I was glad to see that Joel and Jay and Aaron and Jesse all got the memo to wear the green shirt today. I guess I shouldn't be amazed, but I'm often amazed when I have opportunity to be up front, whether it's here in a prayer service or whatever, and as I have opportunity to look out at each of you and how fondly memories of where our lives have crossed comes to my mind. And that's a blessing to me. It's a blessing to me. I wasn't here this morning in your sacrament service. I was in another sacrament service where all three of us participated. You know, a little different than here. A week ago today, I was in another sacrament service at the temple lot, and I enjoyed that very much. And so I'm thankful for the opportunities that the Lord gives me. And I wanted to talk a little bit about a lot of different things, I guess. So hopefully my thoughts will flow together. I want to start this evening to kind of set the pace, the 51st chapter of the book of Psalms. And I'd never really spent much time in this particular verse of Psalms, but I'm going to read the entire chapter. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. It says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wing will I make my refuge until calamity be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me." I'm going to pause there for a moment because I don't want to forget what I wanted to come back and talk about, so we'll just talk about it as we go. You know, I think most of us recognize, and especially when we are talking about the book of Psalms, that, you know, David talked about the mercies of the Lord. The thing I want to make mention of here is he recognized that the Lord was his refuge, and then he says something else, until calamity be overpassed. He also recognizes that we're going to have difficulty. David recognized that each one of us are going to have difficulty in our life. It's just a fact. It's a fact. So I will cry unto the Most High. He had confidence that he, God, would perform all things to him. In the third verse, and he says, "And he shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would shadow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth." Again, David recognized who God was. And as I have opportunity this evening to speak to you, there's a couple things I want to really emphasize here. And so as we continue on, I'll bring those things up. "My soul is among lions. I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue is sharp as a sword." I can relate to this guy. I can relate to David. That he's in the midst of the world, and his enemy is about him. You know, our brother Zachary here had a little experience on Friday I don't think he's ever had before. And he may never want to have again. He came to work with me. I hired him to work for me. That could be disastrous, huh, Zach? But immediately, he has been cast into the den of wolves, haven't you? And to hear things and comments that are made, and people's teeth and tongue are sharp as swords, huh? And that's the world we live in. That's where we're at. I know, I'm sure Chris sees it every day, you know. Those that are policemen and firemen, and those that work in offices, you know. I'm sure that you see it. I work in the hospital, and some of the most foul language and most foul stuff I've heard was out of the mouths of nurses, you know. So no one escapes it. But this is where we're at. This is where David was at all those so many years ago. We live in a world that we're surrounded. We're compressed by calamity, by things that happen that aren't pleasant. May we lose loved ones. May we have car accidents. May we have a lot of different problems. And he says, and you know, my soul is among lions. There's days I feel like that. That I am keeping company with lions. Let's continue on. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They that prepare a net for my feet, for my steps, my soul in the is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. In the midst thereof, they are fallen themselves. For those of us who are believers, the true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't make any difference. If you're doing what you should be doing, if you're convinced, and there's another phrase in this particular reading that I really want to talk about tonight. If you know who you serve, and you're not partaking of the things of the world, it doesn't make any difference if someone digs a pit for you or not. The Lord's going to work it out so they fall in the pit and not you. Let's continue on. Seventh verse. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. That's the question. Is your heart fixed? Not as in broken. Fixed as in fastened. Steadfast. Is your eye focused upon the goal? Is your heart fixed? I'm going to continue to ask you that throughout this evening. Awake up, my glory. Awake. I can never say this word. I always want to put the P in front of it. Psaltery and harp. I myself awake early. I will praise thee, O God, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. What does that say? David wasn't going to be shy. He knew who he served. He knew that God was able. His eye and his heart was fixed upon the Lord whom he served. And I question sometimes if mine is. I'm so easily sidetracked. For thy mercy is great among the great unto heaven, unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be in all the earth. Let thy glory be in all the earth. It sounds like an individual who had confidence in who he served. I'm going to talk a little bit about my trip last weekend. And my son Andrew was with me and Melissa was with me. And I hope I don't embarrass Melissa at all. But I had an unusual look into the lives of some of our brothers and sisters I've never known, the Denham family. You know, the Denham family's been around the church for years and years, but I know very few of them. And I was impressed with a level of humility I seen in some of them. Not humility by accident, because the Lord has brought them low. I'm convinced of that. Men who had businesses and homes, fancy vehicles and nice things, have nothing. They lost it all. And one of them told me, he said, it's nobody's fault but my own. It's nobody's fault but my own. And I'm not sure what the Lord's got in mind, but I know he's working on me. That tells me that he's open, he's receptive, he's been humbled. The scriptures tell us it's better that we humble ourselves than be humbled. But sometimes the Lord does humble us, you know. And a couple of Melissa's uncles there that I've never really met, you know, I found them to be very humble because they too have lost everything, you know, and have health problems. They're getting older. They got some health problems. And I found them to be at least thinking about what should I be doing for the Lord. One of them told me, he said, I think I really feel like the Lord has something for me to do. And my response to him was, you ain't getting no younger. You better get about it. You know, and that would be same for me. I feel, yesterday my son convinced me to help him nail on a roof. Always very difficult for me to get out of bed the next day. Okay, I feel my infirmities of this body. And we need to be about the Lord's business. We're not going to live forever. And I wish and I hope that that I could have the confidence that David has. That he would sing among the nations. He would proclaim it among the people. And that his heart was fixed upon God. Is fixed upon God's law. I want to look in 1 Peter. I tell you what, before we do that, let's look in 2 Nephi. 2 Nephi in the 8th chapter. And we're going to read in the 90th verse. It says, woe unto him that call evil good and good evil, that putteth darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto the wise in their own eyes and the prudent in their own sight. Something I think we need to think about. Something that I'm afraid that I'm guilty of, and perhaps others as well. Calling that which is good, evil. Or that which is evil, good. I may have talked to some of you about this verse of Scripture. I felt like the Lord really impressed this upon my heart when we was at youth camp. And I feel that perhaps unknowingly, sometimes we make statements. I've done it. I make a statement. Oh, that guy, he's a good guy. When my side, he's a good guy. But is he really? I hear all the time somebody will walk up, hey, have you seen such and such a movie? Man, it's a good movie. You just put your stamp of approval on it. You just call that which is good in God's way. You know, is it good? Just has a little profanity in it? Maybe a little nudity in it? I'm sorry, it's not good. And the scripture here says, woe unto him that calleth good evil and evil good. Woe unto him. Let's look in 1 Peter in the 3rd chapter. Sometimes I struggle in my own heart, my own life, no different than everybody else. You know, why I have a difficulty in perhaps progressing spiritually in life. How come the church seemingly struggles from time to time? How come our local struggles? That we can remember in times past that, man, we were at a spiritual high in that year or that time. Why? I think there's a lot of different reasons why. Let's look at 1 Peter in the 3rd chapter, verse 10. It's for he that loveth life, let me start over, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. You know this word here in the 11th verse, let him, the E is silent, I'm told. Eschew. Is that correct? Eschew. I thought, what in the world does that mean? Not exactly a word I use every day. So we looked it up, and it's to shun, abhor, avoid. Okay. So if we really read that, it says, let him avoid or shun or abhor evil and do good, and let him seek peace and ensue it. I'm trying to draw a contrast here, I guess. I'm trying to draw a picture of David having his heart set, fastened upon the Lord, and the level of confidence it gave him. Upon us in our life, maybe being lax in some things, calling that which is good evil, or evil good. Justifying ourselves in a little sin, or maybe just justifying someone else in a little sin. You know, and looking at the promises and the gifts that the Lord has given, that if we do what's right, I don't know, I guess I think of myself from time to time as maybe being a little lukewarm. You know, I don't want to stand up on the roof and shout from the rooftop, hey, the restored gospel's here. You know, and I get comfortable in my position in life where I rub elbows with guys every day, and they know who I am. They know that I don't cuss and I don't drink and I don't this and I don't that. But that's all they really know. I'm not proclaiming to them the gospel with the level of confidence that David had. It says, for he that love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Do we think about what we say? We think about the communication that comes out of our mouth. Is it pleasing to the Lord? I think we wrestle in this world today with a kind of a worldwide or at least American-wide Christian movement where a lot of things are accepted. It's okay. It's okay. There's a lot of accepted things. And so when we rub elbows and we talk to someone and they say, oh, I'm a Christian, what does that mean? Does that mean you're keeping the law of God? Or that you've just bought into this very liberal, very open movement of Christianity? And that influences us. That affects how we look at ourselves and what we do. Let's look in Romans, the 14th chapter. Romans, the 14th chapter and the 16th verse. I'm going to read several verses here. And as in a lot of Paul's writing, it becomes very instructional. If we want to overcome things in our life, there's a way of doing it. 16th verse, it says, let not then your good be evil spoken of. What in the world does that mean? When we do good in life, We don't want it to be spoken evil. You know, we want to make sure that we are seen as we are, as a servant of the Lord. Let's continue on. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. In here, the discussion really was, should you eat meat, shouldn't you eat meat, are there certain meats? Of course, in this time of a lot of people believing in the law of Moses and this new religion at the time, this Christian religion, it was saying, oh, you can eat meat. And they're saying, oh, no, you can't eat meat. So let's continue to read here because Paul gives us some insight. It says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is that in this thing serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the thing which makes for peace, and the thing wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroyeth not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for men who eateth with offense. And I know we don't really face this eating or not eating, or eating meat or eating pork or not eating pork. Sometimes my wife and I will go to dinner with some Jewish friends of ours. I'm not going to order ham. You know, I'm not going to intentionally offend them. But I'd like us to look at this a little more open area, and that is, you know, the evil comes in the offense. That's what Paul's saying here. Let us therefore follow after the things which make peace, and the things wherewith one may be edified. What things are edifying? The things that are written here. The gospel, the word of God. And it says, for meat destroyeth not the work of God. All things indeed are pure. And he's just saying, you know, everything's good. We understand that. But it is evil for men to eat with offense. And maybe it's evil for me to intentionally do something that I know is going to be offensive. You know, we have to look beyond ourselves. Look beyond what we're thinking about. The things that that I want to do. Me, I'm most important. We have to look beyond that. Maybe I don't get to do something I want to do. Maybe I don't eat something I want to eat, or if it was up to me, I wouldn't be standing up here in a tie. But I desire not to offend you. Let's continue. Romans, 12th chapter. I'm going to start in verse 9. Again, some instruction. Let love be without dissimulation. Here's our word again that we just read. There was a definition. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. I want to read a few more verses, I think, but I want to stop there for a minute. Like the first verse I read, we're going to have problems. Are we patient in tribulation? I don't really consider myself real patient. It says rejoicing in hope. The last couple weeks, my wife just went through this kind of weird, strange ordeal with her cousin's husband's sister-in-law. It's getting pretty far out there, huh? The point was, they lived in Kansas, and the sister-in-law was out here in the hospital. 50 years old, she died. She She passed away last week. And for the last couple of weeks, she's been in the hospital and pretty combative to her parents. Her parents were, I would say, godly people. Not members of the Church of Christ, but godly people. Really prayerful and careful in their life. But she was very combative to him, and they were heartbroken. Not because she was passing away so much, but because she wouldn't accept the Lord. She wouldn't accept the need for Christ in her life. And as the weeks went by, the last couple of weeks went by, you know, she got worse and worse, and every day it seemed like the doctors found something else wrong with her, and she passed away. And as we go through these kind of things, you know, it's real quick to see the people who have hope and the people that don't. When my mom passed away a couple years ago, it was real quick for me to see those members of my family that had hope in something more and the ones that didn't. And just how they handled that moment of death and that time of sadness. And there's nothing wrong with being sad. There's nothing wrong with mourning or shedding a tear. But when you're overtaken by hysteria and just no hope. I mean, it can't happen because there's no hope. It's a sad thing. And these are tools, I believe, that the Lord has given us to stabilize us in this life. Here it says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. These are tools that we need to be put in effect in our life daily. If we're going to truly shine, as we're talking about, if our eye is fixed, if our heart is fixed upon that goal. Let's continue reading. It says, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. That's a hard one for me. It says, be of the same mind one towards another, mind not to high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Do we get caught up minding the high things? It's nice if you walk in the room and people recognize you. It's nice if people have nice things to say. Man, he's a hard worker. What guy, I love having him out here on my project. Whatever it is, you know. Well, here comes that Joel Yates. I know what kind of fireman he is. It's nice for people to recognize us for being a good guy, you know. But do we get caught up having the right clothes to wear? To keeping up with the Joneses? Who are the Joneses anyway? But you know what I'm saying? Is that letting somebody will say to me, well, Nathan, what did you say about my tie, Nathan? Well, something he said, but I'm like, huh? It was in my closet. You know, is it important to you that you wear the right kind of clothes or the right kind of shoes? Because that's what somebody else has set as a standard. It says, mind not the high things. Those are the high things. Those are the things that have no value. But condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Are we wise? Do I think of myself as being wise? Am I willing to stop and help the guy along the street that's dirty and filthy and guys that Adam have to deal with all the time? You know, do we still give them respect? Do we still deal with them kindly? Condescend to men of low estate. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, what's that word, Jordan? Huh? Avenge. It was on the tip of my tongue. I just couldn't get it out. Avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. All things that are kind of contrary to our nature, kind of contrary to who we are. Somebody does me wrong, I want to deal with it. I live in a world of, very strong personalities, shall we say. Guys I deal with, foremen and superintendents of other companies, you know, they're there doing that job because they usually have a very large ego. They're very forceful. And if somebody does you wrong, you want to deal with it. And you're going to take care of it right then and there, one way or another. But that's not what I'm called to do, is it? The Lord said he'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. Wherefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him, and if he thirst, give him to drink. For by doing so, you shall heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what we're called to do, is overcome evil with good. Joel's made a statement, I don't know, two or three places I've been in the last year, and I really find it to be true. You know, we cannot succeed in our Christian walk if we're using the adversary's tools to do it. If we're using the tools the devil uses, these things we're talking about right here, you know, giving evil for evil, or if someone does you wrong, you do it back to them. If you're using the adversary's tools, you will not be successful in your Christian walk, in your service to the Lord. Let's look in Mosiah in the 7th chapter. I'm going to start in the 3rd verse. It says, wherefore I would speak unto you that are of the church. I think that's an accurate statement. That's who we're speaking to tonight. Each one of us that are of the church, we have a knowledge of the truth. That are the partaker, are the peaceful followers of Christ. And that have obtained a sufficient hope by that by which ye can enter into the rest of the Lord from this time henceforth until ye shall rest with him in heaven. I have several verses I want to read here, but I want to talk about them as we go. Is that you? Did that just describe you? That you're a peaceable follower of Christ and that you have obtained sufficient hope. What's another word for hope that we can think about? And I've thought this over and over again because we talk about hope, and to me it's not a word. I mean, it is a word. Obviously, it's in the dictionary. But it's not just a word we use. It's something that has to be within us, the word hope. It's faith. It's faith that God and his Son, Jesus Christ, is who he says he is. We hope and have a reliance upon that which he says is true, that we're actually going to do it. Let's continue there in the 7th chapter of Moroni, in the 5th verse. Is that where I'm at here? Yeah. Excuse me, the 4th verse. And it says, Now, my brethren, I judge these things of you because of your peaceable walk with the children of men. For I remember the word of God, which saith, by their works ye shall know them. For if their works be good, then they be good also. By their works ye shall know them. Are you known of your works? The people you associate with? The people you work with? Do they say, hey, there's that guy again? My mechanic, I go and see. He's a good guy. I can tell by the way he deals with people. You know, my plumber, my fireman, whoever it is. You know, Are you known of your works? We as a church, as a body, are we known of our works? Does a guy across the street or down the street know who we are? For behold, God has said, a man being evil cannot do that which is good. For if he offereth a gift or prayeth unto God, except he shall do it with real intent, it profiteth him nothing. If our heart isn't in it, you know, every once in a while my wife and I will get in a discussion like wives and husbands do, and something we want to do or we don't want to do or something we feel like we should do but maybe we don't want to do for somebody or something or family or whatever. And it comes, you know, I say, fine, don't do it. If you're not going to do it with the right heart, don't do it at all. There's no use doing it. The things we do, if we're not doing them out of the goodness of our heart, out of the true love that is in us for God's people, we're wasting our time. Except you do it with real intent, it profiteth you nothing. For behold, it is not counted unto you, unto him for righteousness. For behold, if a man being evil giveth a gift, he doth it grudgingly. Wherefore, it is counted unto him the same as if he had retained the gift. Wherefore, for he is counted evil before God. And likewise also is it counted evil unto a man if he shall pray, and not with real intent of heart. Yea, and it profiteth him nothing. It says, for God receiveth none such. Wherefore, a man being evil cannot do that which is good, neither will he give a good gift. I wanted to read this, and I want to continue reading, because we're going to get on the other side of this coin in a minute. Those we see in the world, and I want to talk a little bit about judgment and judging, and we hear something in modern-day Christianity all the time. You don't have a right to judge me. You don't have a right to judge that. Well, I'm sorry, yes I do. I don't have a right to judge your eternal well-being. Absolutely not. But I have a responsibility to look at anything I'm going to get involved with in life. Something as simple as a movie or a song, to something as a business agreement with somebody or buying into a company, I have to make a judgment call. Is the roots of this thing in evil or in good? Who is backing this thing that I'm getting involved with? And that which is evil never brings forth that which is good. They don't mix. They don't mix. Bitter water and sweet water don't come out of the same fountain. It just doesn't happen. And I've spoke here before about, I believe that there's certain things that the Lord sets in action. And He spoke them into action upon the creation of the world. And they will remain in action until the end, until He speaks them out of it. You know, and He spoke, and the world was, and He spoke, and there was light, and the sun, and the earth rotates around the sun, and all those. He didn't get up every morning and have to worry about that. He spoke it into motion, and that's the way it is. And He's made decrees in His law. That's the way it is. There's no special exceptions for me. There's no special exceptions because the Lord's got a special little deal worked out with me. It doesn't work that way, because He knows what makes His creation happy and brings true happiness. If I knew where I was, I'd continue to read. Verse 9 says, for behold, a bitter fountain cannot bring forth good water, neither can a good fountain bring forth bitter water. Wherefore, a man being a servant of the devil cannot follow Christ. And if he followeth Christ, he cannot serve the devil. It's one or the other. It's one way or the other. Wherefore, all things that are good cometh from God, and that which is evil cometh from the devil, for the devil is an enemy unto God, and fighteth against him continually. He hasn't given up and went home. He fighteth against him continually. And he inviteth and enticeth to sin and to do that which is evil continually. That's the role of our adversary. He's out there inviting, enticing, you know. Zachary's in a new place and he's got his hard hat on and his work boots and he's going about his business and some guy comes out of the elevator, huh? Elevator repair guys are working with us. And they got a filthy, filthy mouth. And they kind of have, typically on a job, I can control that, but these guys don't work for me. And, you know, right there, the old adversary's out reaching out to Zachary right there, you know. And it doesn't make any difference. Each one of us has something in our life. The adversary knows where to hit us. The 11th verse, it says, but behold, that which is of God inviteth and enticeth to do good continually. Wherefore, everything which inviteth, enticeth to do good and to love God and to serve him is inspired of God. So if we pause just for a second and think about every aspect of our life, might take a little more than a second, huh? And put it to this test. Does this movie I'm watching, my sermon's not about movies, it's just an easy target. Is this song I'm listening to, this video game I'm playing, this place I like to eat lunch, whatever it is, this person I like to hang out with? I mentioned this, a friend of mine before. He's an older gentleman, and he and I will go to lunch about once a month or every other month. He happens to be a client of mine, but he also is a friend of mine. I wouldn't want to spend a whole lot of time with him, though, because, you know, he's not a believer, and he makes no bones about it, you know. And I have hope for him that I'll be able to talk to him, but he knows me. He knows who I am and stuff, you know. It's not a secret, but yet that opportunity to just really talk to him hasn't been there. But the question is, do these things entice and invite to do good? When you're killing thousands of people, Gordon, I know you do this all the time, killing thousands of people on a video game, you know, is that invite us, entice us to do good? To love God? You choose. Wherefore, take heed, my beloved brethren, that ye do not judge that which is evil to be of God. Another woe to us. Are we judging that which is evil to be good? Or that which is good and of God to be of the devil? This is a danger that faces each and every one of us in our own life individually. We all have friends. I'm going to guess that most of us have a friend that's living with a girlfriend or a boyfriend. That's called fornication or adultery. It's not good. It's not of God. We might find ourselves saying, hey, that's a good person. They're a good person. Are they? By whose standard? It's a good movie. It's good this, good that. Do we call that which is evil good? For behold, my beloved brethren, it is given unto you to judge. That's your responsibility. That ye may know good from evil, and the way to judge is plain. That ye may know with a perfect knowledge as the daylight is from the dark. Where's Nathan at? Nay? Got a tough question. Nay? Is it daylight or dark out there? It's pretty dark. Most of us can make that call whether the sun's up or not. And here, Moroni is saying it's that easy to judge. From the daylight is from the dark. It's black and white. It's either good and rooted in good and comes from God and encourages you to love God and to serve your fellow man, or it's not. For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man that he may know good from evil. Wherefore, I show unto you the way to judge. For everything that inviteth to do good and persuadeth to believe in Christ and is sent forth from the power and gift of Christ. Wherefore, you may know with a perfect knowledge it is of God. But whatsoever thing persuadeth men to do evil and to believe not in Christ and to deny him and serve not God, then ye may know with a perfect knowledge it is of the devil. It's that simple. And after this manner doth the devil work, for he pursueth no man to do good, persuadeth no man to do good, no, not one. Neither doth his angels, neither do they who are subject themselves unto him. And now, my brethren, seeing that ye know the light by which ye shall judge, which light is the light of Christ, see that ye do not judge wrongfully, for the same judgment which ye are judged, ye shall also be judged. Wherefore I beseech you, my brethren, that ye should search diligently in the light of Christ, that ye may know good from evil, and if ye will lay hold of every good thing and condemn it not, ye certainly will be a child of Christ. You certainly will be a child of Christ. Isn't that the goal? Isn't that the desire of our heart? Isn't that why we're here on a Sunday night? So we want to be a child of Christ. We have a responsibility that the Lord has given us to weed out our own life, not our neighbor's life, our own life, to judge the things we do, whether they be good or whether they be evil. Are we calling those things which are good evil, or those things which are evil good? I have another scripture I'd like to read, I think. The 19th verse of the second chapter, of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter, 19th verse only. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's our charge. That we depart from iniquity. That we don't allow it to creep into our life little by little by certain activities or certain associations that we have, even though it may be something that we enjoy. You know, Nathan was for a while looking up different Jeep clubs. Because, of course, they like the Jeep, and that seems a reasonable thing. That's an association. Something you enjoy to do. It can lead you one of two ways. Everything we run into has to be categorized into one of those two categories. It's either leading us closer to the Lord or it's not. Maybe it's not evil, but maybe it's consuming the time that we should be being led closer to the Lord. Something to think about. That's all I have for you this evening. I thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless us in this endeavor.